Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my delight to have you on board with us today on Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're looking forward to a wonderful dialogue and discussion today. We welcome you on board. Let me remind you, as we look at issues, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. You know, there are a lot of folks in Washington and Tallahassee and downtown in the Marble Castle here in our city that have all kinds of philosophies and ideological bents, some good thoughts and aspirations. But the greatest thing that we can do is to look at the Word of God and see what God's Word says. I believe, based on the authority of Scripture, it gives us the best roadmap for our life, the best illumination for our pathway, the best wisdom for our decisions and understanding of what we do. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you today that you can join in this dialogue and discussion. We're going to be dealing with a wonderful biblical theological subject today that I pray will be a blessing and inspiration and a challenge to each of our listeners. But during the course of this broadcast, if you have questions dealing with the issue that we're discussing, join in the dialogue and discussion. If you have questions or comments about it, call 401-1413, 904-401-1413. That telephone number gets you right through to the radio studio and right to our microphone so that we can discuss it with you, have dialogue and discussion. We're looking forward to this journey together, but as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus made an astounding declaratory statement in John 17:17, where he said, "Thy word is truth." So when we deal with issues, may I encourage you once again to go to your scripture, study the word of God, determine how to make a determination and decision on the issue that you're faced with or what we're faced with as a nation. I believe we're faced with things as a nation that we've never been faced with before. And I believe, especially as conservatives and as Christians, we're faced with issues that we need to understand what God is doing in these final days of the world in which we're living and how we need to respond to them. So, ladies and gentlemen, that brings me to the subject of what we're going to talk about today, and that is looking at what the Scripture says about the mark of the beast. Have you heard that term, the mark of the beast? Perhaps you've heard the term 666, hand or head. Which is your choice? Many have looked at prophetic text and prophecies in the Scripture and have it has held their attention, but that's primary one. But ladies and gentlemen, have you ever wondered what the future of this old world is going to be like? Have you ever considered just how the last days on planet Earth will be? Perhaps of all of the prophecies of all of the Bible about the last days, about the end times, the most things that people look at, the most things that people have considered, most people have either read or heard about, that is the mark of the beast, the 666. Perhaps you've heard it. Perhaps you've talked about it. In fact, down through the corridors of time, we've had all kinds of scenes and settings and movies, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, the number 666 has been in many of the movies. It was in The Omen and The Exorcist and even some of the rock groups. One of them several years ago called the Iron Maiden used the 666 designation. But the mark of the beast in the context of the Scripture is the 666. So what does it mean? We study the Scripture and we look at the concepts of what is happening and what will be happening in the last days. Let me just give you a brief chronological overview of the last days. Perhaps you've not studied the scripture. Perhaps, let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you're in a church where there's a little homily given on Sunday morning to make you feel good, but you're not studying the Word of God. Your scripture is not presented verse by verse and chapter by chapter on a chronological thematic basis. There needs to be an understanding of the Word of God. That's the reason God gives us what I call the big old Bible, is so that we can know what God is doing. The Bible is God's progressive revelation of himself to man. And the reason we have the Bible is God has given us pre-written what he's going to do in the last days, pre-written history, if you will, that gives us an understanding. The last days in which I believe we're living in, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church, the sudden seizure, the snatching away, when the bride of Christ, the church, will be snatched out. Now understand, fully realize and recognize that those that are beholding to the Calvinist doctrine and other theological doctrinal persuasions reject the rapture of the church. Many say the Christians are going through the days after the rapture of the church, which, by the way, is immediately following the rapture of the church, called the seven-year tribulation. The 7 years of tribulation is that which begins at the 7 years. It is when we find in the 7 years of tribulation the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls, a total of 21 judgments, each of the judgments. And when I say judgments, the tribulation time, keep in mind, is the wrath of God being poured out upon a Christ-rejecting, Bible-hating, God-denying, church-refusing society, in which everything is anti-God, anti-Christ, and anti-Word, etc., etc. That 7 years of tribulation, the word tribulation is word thelupsis, literally means pressure, pains, problems, difficulties, and it is where the wrath of God is poured out. The word wrath is the thumos, the white-hot anger of God being poured out. Let me just tuck this in right now. If you're saved, if you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, and by the way, you're not saved because of osmosis. You're not saved because somehow, some way, back in the Cardinals of time, God predetermined that you're going to heaven, and you're saved whether you understand it, whether you realize it, whether you know it or not. That's not salvation. Salvation is where you make a volitional decision that you're going to invite Christ to come in your heart. And the invitation of Christ to come in your heart is not of works. The invitation of Christ to come in your heart is not where you're doing works to get yourself saved. It's simply reaching out, accepting the free gift that Christ has already provided on Calvary's cross. And he doesn't come in unless he's invited. So, ladies and gentlemen, if the rapture of the church takes place right now, and the sudden seizure, the snatching of the bride of Christ, that is the saved ones of the world, we're snatched out because we're not going to go through the thumos, the wrath of God, because God's not angry with the church, with the Christian. God's anger, God's wrath has already been mitigated on the cross where Christ took upon himself the sins of the whole world. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. God's not angry with you as a Christian. When the 7 years of tribulation takes place, there will be the unfurling, the continual progressive intensification of the wrath of God being poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. The intensifying of those days of distress and danger and difficulty and darkness and destitution and destruction will increase and ultimately end with what is called the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon. So the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. The next thing following that is the ruin, the 7 years of ruin, the 7 years of tribulation. And following that is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you, the 7 years of tribulation, literally the time that God is going to be pouring out his white hot anger, his wrath upon a world that said no to Jesus Christ, there will be those that are on the face of the globe that have never said yes to Jesus Christ. God primarily, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, in the last 3.5 years of the 7 years of the tribulation, God's going to be focusing on the Jewish people as an ethnic group. And according to Zechariah chapter 12, verses 9 and following, all of Israel is going to be saved. That's validated, by the way, in Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. All of Israel, all of the Jewish people shall be saved. Now, by that time, going through the days of the tribulation, the wrap up of the tribulation, 2/3 of the world's population will have already been destroyed. So therefore, the all of Israel is the remnant, the minuscule tithe, if you will, of God's people, the Jewish people, the apple of God's eye that shall be saved. But ladies and gentlemen, there will be a person immediately following the rapture of the church, a real person, a human being, that will be Satan incarnate, that will be empowered by Satan himself, that will rule the whole world. He will be the Antichrist. Let me just give you a very quick overview. There are 10 different names that the Antichrist is called in the Scripture. He is called the man of sin, 2 Thessalonians 2:4. He is called the son of perdition, 2 Thessalonians 2:4. He is called the wicked one, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. He is called the lawless one, 2 Thessalonians 2:9. He is called the little horn. In fact, many refer to him as the little horn of Daniel. It's where the little horn rises up, which is the Antichrist coming forth. The little horn, Daniel 7:8. He'll be called the beast, Revelation 13:13, and Revelation 13:3 and Revelation 17:8. He'll be called the dragon, Revelation 13:4 and Revelation 12:7. He'll be called the old serpent, Revelation 12:9. He's also called the devil and Satan, Revelation 12:9. And ultimately, he is the Antichrist, 1 John 2:18 and 22 and 2 John 7. Ladies and gentlemen, the Antichrist will be slain. Listen carefully. I'm going to give you an overview. We're going to go back and look at it because we're going to focus on the 666, the mark of the beast. The 666, the mark of the beast. That's what we're talking about today. What is the mark of the beast? How do we identify with it? How will it be accepted? Will a person be forced to take the mark, as some have concluded and some have pictorial video footage stated? The Antichrist will be slain. He will have a mortal wound. And he will receive that mortal wound, but the false prophet, that is the false religious leader, when I say false, be a religious leader that is a false, phony religious leader, not truly saved, not truly preaching, teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll see that in a moment in our brief review. And by the way, if you're sitting at home, turn in your Bibles now, be prepared, Revelation chapter 13. If you're driving, certainly do not pick up your Bible and try to read it. Watch your road, but recall what we're saying. Go back and study it then at your leisure, Revelation 13. However, the Bible is full of references to the Antichrist, the one that is Satan incarnate, that comes on the scene, steps into the world, that will rule the whole world with an iron fist. Ladies and gentlemen, that Antichrist, we do not know how he will be slain, but we know the Scripture says, as we'll read in a moment, that he will receive a mortal wound. He will be dead. He will be slain. And the false prophet, that is the sidekick, as I call it, of the Antichrist. Let me simply tuck this in at this moment. Just as Jesus Christ, just as God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, called the triunity of the Godhead, Satan has always wanted to replicate, duplicate, and imitate all that God has ever done. So Satan will be Satan, and the Antichrist and the false prophet, the unholy trinity that's recorded in Revelation chapter 13. You heard me say it right. The unholy trinity that's recorded in Revelation chapter 13. Satan will be filled with demonic powers because he will be totally Satan incarnate. He will be Satan literally walking in flesh, just as when Jesus Christ came into the world, he was God in the flesh. So the Antichrist will be Satan in the flesh, walking upon the earth and ruling and reigning in this old world. He will have supernatural demonic powers, and that false prophet will also be empowered by Satan himself and will be able to raise the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of rumors and a lot of talk and a lot of rattling around the world about some so-called preachers that have the power to raise the dead. We see the phony signs, miracles, and wonders that are being performed by the charlatans on the platform and the stages across the nation, being televised by many of the Heresy Broadcast Network television stations, that it simply is a precursor to what we're going to see, what will be seen. I won't be here. You may be, but I won't. I'll be raptured out. I'll be gone. When the church is snatched out of the world, I won't go through the tribulation. If you're saved, you won't either. But there are multitudes of these charlatans today that are advocating for signs, miracles, and wonders, and they will even touch on one that has been preaching for a number of years and all over the continent of Africa, says he's been able to raise the dead. I'm petrified, frightened to death, worried when I hear that, because it's setting the stage, causing the religious world to be ready to embrace one that will step on the scene that can truly raise the dead. He will do so by demonic, satanic powers. But when the Antichrist is supernaturally, demonically empowered by being raised from the dead, I want us to understand that this will be Antichrist. He will be raised from the dead. And when that happens, he'll cause the whole world to follow after and to worship the Antichrist. Everybody on the earth that will be living will be required to receive the mark of the beast. That is the mark of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, and that will be either in the hand or the head, the right hand or the forehead, the Scripture says. So how will this be done? Will every person be forced to take the mark of the beast? Or will people globally accept the mark of the beast? Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you that as we study the scripture, as we'll read the verses in a moment, we find that the Antichrist, first of all, is crafty and cunning, because in Revelation chapter 13, it talks about him coming on the scene and what he will be like. He will be portrayed as being crafty and cunning. He'll be portrayed as being crushing, cruel. He will also be portrayed as not only one that's crafty and cunning and crushing and cruel, but he will be a callous person. He will be callous with no sensitivities whatsoever. He will be empowered from Satan. His position will be from Satan. His prominence will be as a result of satanic demonic powers. When he steps on the scene, he will be awed and adulated by the world's population on the scene at that time, and the world will fall down and worship him, shake their fist in the hand of God, and basically saying, who is able to confront this person? Who is able to beat him at war, if you will. Let me read a few verses of Scripture, and then we will conclude by focusing on the 666 and what that means and how we respond to it and what we need to understand. Scripture says in Revelation chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon the horns 10 crowns, and upon the heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, speaking of Satan, gave him his power." That is, the Antichrist received his power. It was given to him by Satan himself, and his seat and great authority. In other words, his position, his power were all granted to him, given to him, empowered by Satan. This is the reason it talks about in the earlier verses there about him coming in like a lion and a leopard, etc. He'll be crushing and cruel. He'll be absolutely callous and cold, and will have no sensitivities as you would think a normal human being would have. And the scripture says in the third verse, we're in Revelation 13, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave the power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Ladies and gentlemen, that's the first four verses in Revelation chapter 13. It is dealing with the coming Antichrist. And ladies and gentlemen, the cunning Antichrist will be one that will be marvelously worshiped, marvelously viewed, be looked at as having power to bring about peace on the earth. According to Daniel chapter 9, he will be able to have a seven-year peace treaty created with the nation of Israel, bringing peace to the nation of Israel. Halfway point of that seven-year peace covenant, he will break the covenant, try to destroy the nation of Israel. That's about the halfway point of the 7 years of tribulation. 42 months is referred to, 1260 days in the scripture, 42 months. But ladies and gentlemen, these verses show us that the Antichrist will come on the scene. But I want us to read verses 16 through 18 quickly for our time. "And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark, a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and no man might buy and sell, save or accept them, and have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That is 666. Ladies and gentlemen, when that takes place, I want us to understand that this global ruling Antichrist will cause those to worship him, fall down and worship him, because the scripture's already said in verse 13 and following that we've not read, but I'll recite for you, that without the mark of the beast, there'll be no buying, no selling. You won't be an individual living in that day. We'll not be able to go to the grocery store and buy. We'll not be able to sell. We'll not be able to rent a house. We'll not be able to buy a house. We'll not be able to have any transportation. We'll not be able to have a job unless he has the mark indicating, number one, a global pledge of allegiance to the Antichrist. The mark of the beast, ladies and gentlemen, is indicating it's a global pledge of allegiance. We see the mark is 666. What is 666? What does it mean? The 666 simply is indicative of a man-centered universe. Man in front, man in the center, and man on the end. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, rather than being dependent upon God, it will be the ultimate of humanism. And we see that humanistic, socialistic society being pushed now out of Washington, and the AOC, the female that is heading up the Democratic Party today, Nancy Pelosi is not the head, she's the figurehead. Ocasio Cortez is actually the head of the Democratic Party today. She's pushing the New Green Deal, and it's a socialistic system. And I am amazed to see that, because it's a precursor of what we're going to see in the ultimate time with this Mark of the Beast. Now, ladies and gentlemen, back a number of years ago, there were a lot of theologians and biblical mathematicians, if you will, biblical typologists and numerologists who were trying to determine what is the 666? How do we determine what it is, and how will it be administered to a human being? Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand again the 666. Number 777 is the perfect number. Seven is God's number. The six is the one digit under God's perfection, and that's man. God created man, and he created him good, according to Scripture, looking at him on the days of creation, it says, and it is good. So God created man, but man's number, when you study biblical numerology, is number six. So 666 is man-centered man, and that is the ultimate of humanism and the humanistic socialistic system. But this mark, how will it be administered? Back a number of years ago, when we first came out with the Social Security card, the number on the Social Security card, a lot of numerologists, a number of biblicists said then the Social Security number is the mark of the beast. Well, that very well could be in some sense, but I want us to understand we're living in a technologically advanced society today where everybody's got some kind of technological advancement in the purse of their pocket. If you've got a chip card, a chip reader charge card, that has a chip in it. That chip is minuscule, small, but it has all the data about your financing. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, a microchip the size of a grain of rice that can be inserted into your physical body by a hypodermic needle? That is exactly what we see on the move in the cutting edge of technology today. Just as at one time the barcode used to be considered the mark of the beast, ladies and gentlemen, we far surpassed the barcode, and it is possible today to have a microchip the size of a grain of rice inserted in your ear, inserted in your hand, inserted in your head. Here's an article that says the microchip is about the size of a grain of rice, usually inserted in the webbing between the thumb and the forefinger, used using a needle the same thickness as used in body piercing. This is an article talking about the volunteers in Melbourne, Australia, living with embedded microchips in the technological world that we have today. Here's another article, ladies and gentlemen, that says, the traveler's alert. Feds want to track your face. The frequent flyer program called the PreCheck, and I'll just simply, rather than reading the article, tell you, with the flight PreCheck program, it's designed based on a face recognition system, and it's all done by computerized chips. If you want to understand a little more clearly, we're dealing with a national problem today at the borders. We're trying to control the immigrants coming in. We're talking about using the E-Verify system. Eventually, there will be a card issued to every immigrant coming in, whether legal or illegal, so that they can be tracked, and in that card will be a chip. There will be a discovery soon on that microchip card can be imitated, duplicated, replicated, and so therefore the best way to do it will make a transition, placing it in the body. And as a result of that, there will be the tracking system that will be set up so that every human being can be tracked with that tracking system that is being integrated today. Here's an article that says Wisconsin Country Company, known for microchipping employees, planned the GPS tracking chip for dementia patients. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, they're already saying in the state of California, for example, if you have an animal, you've got to have a microchip in that dog or cat's earlobe or in the fleshly part of the neck. They're talking about in several states instituting the program, when your baby is born in the hospital, that baby will be microchipped. So if that baby is stolen or lost or kidnapped in any way, that you'll be able to find that child. And most everybody's going to receive, fully embrace the microchipping system because it makes life easier. Ladies and gentlemen, animals are being microchipped. We're finding today that parole criminals are being microchipped in their ankle bracelets. Elderly suffering with dementia now are being microchipped, so if they wander off, they can be found. Some states are wanting babies to be microchipped. Some companies use it for its employees. There's a company called Three Square Marketing Company that's requiring all of its employees. They've got 192 employees, requiring them to be microchipped. In the nation of China, they're now on a national scale implementing a microchip system for automobiles that ultimately you won't be able to drive a car unless it's implanted with the microchip so that you can be followed. In the in and through the microchip system at all cambered intersections in China today, they have full facial recognition cameras installed to be able to recognize and track you. And if you do anything wrong, jaywalking or otherwise, you can be tracked down and picked up. This surveillance camera can be seen from some 4,000 feet away, can literally zero in the iris of your eye at a 4,000-foot distance. Ladies and gentlemen, if that is not the mark of the beast and the intended use of it, may not be for anything but good right now, but when the church is raptured out, the Antichrist steps on the scene, that mark will be there. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, that microchip the size of a grain of rice can hold all of your data, all of your birth information, all of your history in the military, all of your medical history, all of your police history, all of your background, all of your criminal history, everything in that microchip. And listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, if that when that microchip is inserted in your body, in the head or in the head, hand, ladies and gentlemen, it can be changed by uplink satellite, and if you happen to be walking or moving, it can absolutely stall you, detain you, stop you. Or if you're trying to buy or sell and you've not submitted to the Antichrist, you will not be able to do so. The method, not only the mark of the 666, but the method that will be used will be that mark of identification. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering if people will have the police officers knocking at the door, military knocking at the door, beating your door down to get you to come out so they can drag you in and put the mark in the body, that's simply not the way it's going to happen. It will be the global pledge of allegiance. Today, we're living in a day where people want to follow the one that I call the biggest, baddest, the best on the scene. This is the reason today you may be going to a church where you have a legendary preacher where he's known with great reputation for being great, but the Bible is not being taught. He may smile while he preaches, but that's not teaching the Word of God. There are a lot of folks that want to follow the one that looks like is the one that's in the highest level of dominance and predominance and prestige and position. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, that same mentality will be on the earth when the church is raptured out, when the Christians will be suddenly seized out of this old world. It will be those that will gather up and be delighted to accept that microchip, that mark of the beast, because it is a global pledge of allegiance. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says, man receives microchip implant live on stage at the Mobile World Conference Technology event in Barcelona, Spain. At the World Mobile World Congress Technology event held in Barcelona, Spain on Monday, a man named Edgar Pons, P-O-N-S, volunteered to have a microchip inserted under his skin on live stage. Here's another article, ladies and gentlemen, talks about Sweden. Thousands of Swedes are inserting microchips under their skin. And it goes on. It's a frightening article when you look at it on the basis of what we know that society is going. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Swedish millennials in particular are being microchipped because they can wave that microchip and get into their door without having to put in a key code. They can wave the microchip and it opens their cell phone, wave the microchip that's in the hand, wave it at their PC computer and it opens the computer. No longer do they have to memorize code. No longer do they have to push in key codes to get in the door. It simply makes life easier, as this article says. The article says the proponents of this tiny chip say they're safe and largely protected from any hacking, but one scientist is raising privacy concerns around the kind of personal health data that might be stored in these devices. Around the size of a grain of rice, the chip typically inserted in the skin using a syringe, similar syringe to insert it. Some Swedes are lining up to get the microchip that the country's major chipping company says it can't keep up with the number that's seeking it. This article further says, having different cards and tokens and varying of identity to a bunch of different systems doesn't make sense anymore. Using a microchip in the skin means that the hyper-connected surroundings that you live in every day will be streamlined. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. There's a whole lot that I could say in relationship to this, but let it be understood that the microchip is, in fact, the coming global identification that the Antichrist, the man of sin, the lawless one, the one that's the empowered by the incarnation of Satan himself, that will be on the scene ruling and whirling, ruling this old world when Jesus Christ takes the church, the body of Christ, out of this world. If you're not saved, get saved. If you're saved, tell your relatives, neighbors, and friends how to get saved, because the coming day when the church is snatched out, and then 7 years of doom and gloom and disappointment, degradation, darkness, and destruction will take place under the power of the Antichrist himself. Ladies and gentlemen, the Antichrist will come, and there will be a global pledge of allegiance, and it's a genuine proof of acceptance, because everybody wants to be received. They will take that microchip, that mark of the beast, the 666, the identity of man, that they might be able to follow the one that's leading the globe, that one that is the Antichrist as he steps on the scene. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you as we close, I've had a book that came out just a few months ago called The Coming Antichrist. It's about 144 pages. Retails for $16.95. Any contribution for Let's Face the Issues, $10 or more, we'll send you the book. We'll pay the postage. Call us or write, First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. Looking forward to placing this book in your hand that you might be illuminated understanding of what the Antichrist will be like. 144 pages of frightening, intriguing, challenging biblical reading. Invite you to get one today. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.